It's time for JT the Brick.
This is the place to come for Raiders.
Intercepted, going to be a touchdown.
I was shocked. I mean, I was very, very pleased, but I was totally shocked.
I mean, that to me is insanity.
We have good players that came to play today, and I give our guys credit.
And I'm vested in the team, and I want to see the team win, especially when they get here.
JT the Brick.
I need Derek Carr to play better.
Derek Carr was on point like the old Derek Carr.
But my favorite Brown was obviously Trent. For obvious reasons, right?
That's what we're dealing with here. Can Carr get it done?
Carr drops back into the gun. Protection, end zone, diving catch! Touchdown, Raiders!
I mean, I want to see the team win, especially when they get here.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Good to have you today. Big show. Raider legend Sebastian Janikowski coming up in a few minutes. Excited about that. That's a nice surprise. We're brought to you by PT's Taverns, the official sponsor of the Vegas Golden Knights. They fuel the monologue every day, and you know their story. I tell you every day. Happy hour every day, 5 to 7 and midnight to 2. If you haven't been to their happy hour yet, it is the best one in town. They have viewing parties at Sierra Gold. They are Knights and sports friendly, and we love everything about it. Head on out to PT's right now. Get ahead of the happy hour crowd and have a great time tonight. John Gruden spoke to the media today. We'll have that for you coming up here in a little bit. And the Vegas Golden Knights won last night. I think we should start with the save by Fleury last night that becomes now an iconic moment in the history of this young, proud organization. The save by Fleury that's gone viral. Everybody's talking about it around the world. If you were in the building last night, they will be printing up posters of this moment. He'll be signing his name against this picture, right up against it, the rest of his career.
Leaves up ahead on the far side, and a shot. No! Rebound! Oh, a diving! Glove saved by Fleury! He went airborne, back to his left, and saved the goal!
Dan Duva, great call on Knights Radio. That's why you go to games. That's why I get on airplanes and go to Oakland and everywhere else. You go to games, people say, well, I don't want to go, I want to watch on TV. Really? If you can go, and not some people can't afford to, some people can't, I get that. But if you have an opportunity to go to the game, how would you like to have been in the restroom for that? How would you like to have been at the bar for that one? I'm sure there were. If you saw it, I had buddies who work at the game, guys texting me from the press box, individuals in this building today walking around in awe from that performance and everything that went down. Great, great save by Fleury. Where would this franchise be without Fleury? We don't have to ask that, but it's in the back of our mind, and they get it done again. So there you go. Some momentum is brewing for your Vegas Golden Knights. And the momentum is real. Now they got to keep it up again and have a couple of big wins and keep loading up on it. As I said before, if you get a chance to go to the famed Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, the number one honor you could have at the Coliseum is lighting the torch in memory of Al Davis. Sebastian Janikowski did before the Bengals game, the Raiders won, and he's kind enough to join us. Seabass, great talking to you again. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I got to go back to the experience and lighting the torch. Walk us through this and how important it was for you when you got the notice from the Raiders that they selected you to do it.
No, I find that from the Raiders who were back and just to pick the game, which game I'm going to light up, is a huge honor, and I was thrilled to come out.
You know, the crowd went crazy, and I've been there for the legends, the Hall of Famers, individuals who have lit it, even fans, but that must have felt great. Give us your perspective standing up on that perch, looking down at the crowd as they're cheering back to you.
Man, I was more nervous than kicking 50-yard field goal to win the game, to be honest with you. I was shaking up. That's awesome, man. Raider fans have always been great to me, and the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what's special about you. You've been great to the fans. The fans have always been great to you. So as you were heading up there, and I know once you got to the Coliseum, there were a lot of people that you had to hug and say hello to. I had buddies of mine who were taking pictures with you. What about the fan reaction throughout the day at the Coliseum?
Man, it was awesome, man. Just walking through the stadium was so crazy, but I took so many videos and pictures, took some pictures with kids. It was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Sebastian Janikowski joins us, and Did it feel to you like a look back of your entire career, a look back at the current moment? You were in the moment at that time, smiling. I saw you in the luxury box talking to the fans. You know, just being in the moment, what is that like?
It's so different. I actually experienced the fan way. You know, I was always on the field, so it was different. But I actually experienced the game from the perspective of the fan. It was ridiculous. It was awesome.
What was it like, too, talking to the current players on this team? They're in a playoff push right now. You have old friends and old teammates there. What was that like?
Well, it was great to see, you know, D.C. and all the young guys, you know, they're stepping up and they're playing really well and get a playoff push.
Yeah, Sebastian Janikowski is our guest. And from the coaching staff and the organization, since you've been back, Willie Brown passed away, Cliff Branch passed away. There's a lot, very emotional moments at the Coliseum this year because of the legends who passed, who came before you. Did you get a chance to share some moments with some of the teammates and former teammates and the staff about that?
Yeah, I did. You know, just went to the locker room, said hi to the players, and the staff, and the equipment and training staff, you know, said hi to those guys. And so John Condo, you know, I was hanging out with him for a little bit. So it was fun. Just a great time to see everybody.
You know, I've seen you so many times warming up before games, and there was just something about you, Seabass, when you would come out of the tunnel with Condo and Leckler back in the day and your special teams teammates. You were just so focused going out there. When did you turn it on? Did you turn it on the drive to the game once you put your uniform on coming out of the tunnel? When did you lock in?
Well, I'm always loose way before the game. I mean, that's, you know, probably when I come out of the locker room, just going down the stairs, my mind just changes. You know, I wasn't listening to anything. I wasn't listening to anybody. Just go out there and try to do my job. That's what I can't.
Kicking on the dirt. Give me some memories of preparing to kick on the dirt and kick on the dirt throughout your career. What was that like?
Man, it was something different. I mean, I'm not going to say I was looking forward to away games because I got crashed. But it was different. I mean, you got to get really used to it. And over the years, I think I did.
What were some of the road spots, other stadiums? Kansas City, you had so many iconic moments. You kicked in San Diego and had some really big kicks there. Maybe one of the toughest and most difficult stadiums to kick in, and one where you really enjoyed and were looking forward to it.
No, Kansas City, because I think my whole career, I missed it like one field goal or something. Like, this stat is really crazy. But, you know, Buffalo games is always windy. But every game you go out on the road or home, you always try to do your best. And you concentrate and do your job.
What was the experience like going up to Seattle and playing for Pete Carroll?
Oh, it was awesome. It was a good experience. You know, Pete is a great coach, and the facility, everything was awesome. And, you know, just too bad I couldn't finish with the Raiders one more year.
Yeah, a lot of fans say that, and they respect you and the way you've handled everything. And, you know, your responsibility going forward, because you live in Florida, but the Raiders want you back a lot. The team's going to move to Las Vegas, and you care so much about Oakland. Talk to me about the next year and the transition that you're going to make mentally going from Oakland to Las Vegas.
Well, it's tough. I mean, it's a tough situation because the fans, I play in Oakland my whole career, so all my ties are over there. But, you know, moving to Vegas, they, you know, go pick up some new fans, and, you know, especially, you know, you're winning now, and it's going to be awesome.
When I spoke to you last year, you talked about golf, but I was texting you before this interview with your kids at school and all that. Well, I think the fans would love to know if you can just walk us through a typical day with your family and your kids and what it's like to be a dad.
Yeah, waking up in the morning, taking them to school, you know, they're old enough to get them dressed themselves. I'm driving to school, and I come back and play with the little one because she hasn't started school yet. Then same thing on the way back, you know, just pick them up and play and hang out with the kids.
What about your friends? I know Shane Leckler and you were so tight, and John Condo, I saw him there with you. Who do you keep in touch with now the most in the NFL?
Yeah, I talked to D.C., I talked to Mac a couple times. So you always say, you know, it's kind of hard because you got such a new team with the Oakland Raiders, so it's a lot of new guys. I keep in touch with Shane, Conda, you know, the friends around that area.
Awesome. As we wrap it up with the great Sebastian Janikowski, I wanted to talk about your relationship with Mark Davis, because Mark Davis is in charge of making that decision with the torch, and that's been a special one, from your relationship to Al Davis and Carol Davis, Mrs. Davis, all the way to Mark. Where are you with that relationship right now?
Man, that relationship always goes there forever. You know, the Davis family give me a paternity once in a lifetime, so I own them a lot, and, you know, it was nice to see everybody.
Seabass, finally, it really seems like you're grateful. The smile that you had in Oakland to come back one more time, to be with the fans again. Let's wrap it up with your message to the Raider Nation going forward.
No, the message is just win, baby.
There you go. Thanks for doing this. Get back to your family. I really appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Sebastian Janikowski. You know, I saw he lit the torch, and I texted him to congratulate him, and he was busy that day. He got right back to me. I said, you know, can you please come on and share that experience? It's an incredible experience from a kid from Poland to Florida State with Bobby Bowden to being drafted in the first round. My connection with him is when he was selected in the first round, I was outside the Raider War Room broadcasting a draft show, and they gave me the card, and I looked at the card, and luckily I knew his name because I followed college football in Florida State. So I knew the name Janikowski. I won't say who was with me at the time. Everybody's like, you talk to him. I don't know how to say the name. I'm like, I got it. And we interviewed him, which was incredible. I'll never forget the interview. And had a great conversation with him, and then he hung up the phone, and you know, he spoke in broken English at that point in time. And everybody was like, oh my God, they drafted a kicker. What is Al Davis doing? He took a first-round pick and took a kicker. Well, he comes in a run with the Raiders. This was the genius of Al Davis. He comes to the Raiders as a first-round pick in the draft, and the Raiders are playing their best football at that time. He was drafted in 2000. Remember, 2000, 2001, 2002, right? The Super Bowl in 2003. They don't have Janikowski. There's games they don't win. They don't go to the Super Bowl. Janikowski was a big part of that. I just wish that the Raiders played better throughout his career because he came in, and I remember saying, what a phenomenon. This guy's kicking on a team that's going to go back to the playoffs every year. Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Charlie Garner, Rod Woodson. Rich Gannon, the MVP, and Janikowski was a big part of that team. And then the Raiders went on a hiatus for a long period of time. Long period of time. And then Seabass was always the consistent guy at that time. And really the face at times of the franchise. And one of my jobs right here is to try to bridge the alumni in the history of the Raiders to Vegas. And we try to do that all the time. We got Howie Long coming up tomorrow. So the names that you know and maybe some of the names that you don't recognize as much. You will see Janikowski in Vegas and Mark Davis. He'll be in Mark Davis's box, a big part of what Mark Davis is doing with this franchise as they come here. Great that we can catch up with Seabass and have him on. No doubt about it. Here's another one.
No kicker has made more 50-plus yard field goals in the NFL than Sebastian Janikowski. From 52, Michael Dixon puts it down. The kick has got legs. It is there. It is good. Sebastian Janikowski kicks it through. The Seahawks win on the last play of the game.
Seahawks radio. He had a lot of great moments. Is he going to go down as the greatest kicker of all time? No. But he's going to go down as the greatest kicking character in the history of the game because he was a football player. His biceps, his size, he could have played linebacker. And the amount of money that he made, it's none of our business, but the amount of money that he banked. And then there was a maturity thing where he came in as a single guy who liked to party and get after it. And then he met his wife and had a couple of kids. And now he's tremendous in his life right now. Really happy. That made my day. I'm happy we're able to get him here. We'll include that interview in the Raiders team podcast later on this week as we get ready for that. Really excited because we got a lot of Raider talk to get to as the Raiders are playing the Jets. Now, I've been putting in some time with the Jets in preparation this week. And the Jets, all I can say is that the Jets are better. Better than they were a couple of weeks ago. At one point in time this season, the Jets were the worst team in football. And it happened right after the game where Sam Darnold lost to the Patriots 33-0 and said, I see ghosts. In that game, after that game, the rest of the league thought that Miami was now better than the Jets, and the Jets were the laughingstock of the league. But remember, this is a Jets team that beat the Cowboys 24-22, and they just won their last two games. In both games, they put up 34 points against the Giants and at the Redskins, two pretty bad teams. But the point is they've scored over 30 back-to-back. They're 3-7 on the year, and they have a chance to, at the end of their season, they believe they're going to beat the Raiders. That would get them to 4-7. Then they play at the Bengals. That would get them to 5-7. Then they play the Dolphins. That would get them to 6-7. They can turn their whole season around if they beat the Raiders. Not going to make the playoffs, but they have some goals here. They have Jamal Adams, who is incredible, one of the best young defensive backs in the league, and Le'Veon Bell, who on his own can shred the Raiders if they don't tackle him in the backfield. Sam Darnold is good with protection. I love the way that the Raiders are playing Mad Max. The defensive edge rush has been outstanding. So John Gruden spoke today about putting pressure on the quarterback going forward. That's been a strength the last couple of weeks for this team as they're getting an improved pass rush. And I like the fact that Crosby is coming into his own. His stats are unbelievable as of late. Mad Max Crosby has been a beast over the last couple of weeks. Check this out for a stat here. I couldn't believe it today. The Raiders rookie class, first in the NFL in rushing yards, first in receptions, first in scrimmage yards, first in scrimmage TDs, and first in sacks. A lot of that has to do with Mad Max Crosby, and Gruden knows they got to continue to pick up the pace with that pass rush.
We've had a lot more pressure on the quarterback, and it's, I think, helped result in gaining turnovers, and our offensive guys have been pretty good taking care of the ball. We got to do a little better job this week because the Jets are coming from everywhere.
Yeah, the Jets are coming from everywhere. Reminds me of a soundbite, I See Ghosts. We got to cut that up. The Jets are coming from everywhere. I think there's some truth to that. Gruden talked about the challenge that the Jets will be going forward, especially that they have to go there and play the Jets. Here's Gruden.
They got a lot of good players. You know, they put a lot of good players on that roster. And like you say, Darnold is getting healthy and playing good. Defensively, they're really playing with confidence and a very, very, very aggressive style of play. It'll be a challenge for us.
All right, so that's where they are. We have a ton of sound coming up throughout the show with John Gruden. I want to get into the Vegas Golden Knight game last night. If you went to that game, we're the flagship station here, and we take calls on hockey. I got to hear what that experience was like. I'm doing a radio show at night, and Bobby's here with me, and we're watching it on TV. Bobby, who runs our show, is running the broadcast. And when that save came down to Fleury, we looked at each other in amazement about what's happening here. If you were at that game last night, do you think that is the signature individual moment in the history of the Vegas Golden Knights? 876-1340 is the number. Is it Wild Bill and his famous goal through his legs? Is there something I'm missing in the history of this young franchise? But I got to think that the Fleury save is going to be the iconic moment that goes on with him. I was the first person in media to say that they have to get him a statue. Me, nobody else. That was me. Round of applause for me saying that in year one. Where's the statue? I repeat, does T-Mobile need money? Dude, can I write the first check? Do I need to start a GoFundMe for T-Mobile with their advertising dollars and what they're charging for a freaking beer and what they're charging for sushi and nachos and bottle service? Where is the statue for Fleury? I don't need to see it in 5 years when he retires. I need that statue out in front of that park where they have this bizarre, funky statue that's out there. Don't know what it is. They have potted plants. Get it rid of that and put a statue of Fleury right there as you're walking in so people can take pictures now, not 5 years from now. Some people won't be here 5 years from now. Build the statue with Fleury. I will start the campaign. I will write the first check. I repeat, I will write the first check for the statue. Will you get behind me? Let's get a Fleury statue. And then at the end of his career, we can mount the statue with all of his accomplishments. But why don't we use that save or another kick save or glove save, bronze statue in front of T-Mobile, and he becomes the first athlete because Tark's got a beautiful... When I go to UNLV and see the Tark on the towel, fantastic. How many pictures do they take out there? Hundreds of games, thousands over the years. Let's do the same for Fleury. Start the statue is the hashtag. Start the statue. Very simple. I just came up with it now. And I'll write the first check. Let's get it going and let's get this guy the stature that he needs in front of T-Mobile before they end up giving it to George Strait or some performer or some magician or Madonna. Let's do this right and give it to the flower as we get going. So I'm excited. Busy show, and thanks to Sebastian Janikowski. Howie Long tomorrow. That's going to be good. And more on what John Gruden had to say today. Also, Derek Carr spoke to the media. Jerry Jones. Ooh, Jerry Jones has got a lot to say. As the Cowboys are going to take on New England. That's a hell of a game. JT, brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore.
No, I thought it was a goal when I looked at it. I said, and that's Mark. He just never gives up, and that's the battle in him, and it was a huge save at a huge time.
Gerard Gallant after the Fleury save last night. I cannot believe no one's called in on that save yet. I know we had Sebastian Janikowski. Let's go. If you're in the building for that save, paint a picture for me. How great was that moment? 876-1340, and help me with the hashtag start the statue. I believe that life happens now. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I think that statue needs to be bronzed as we speak. Put it outside T-Mobile. Get Fleury the statue that we know he's going to get at some point in time. Let him see it. Let him play motivated in front of T-Mobile. Let his wife and kids walk into that arena while he's still in the prime and see that statue out there. Start the statue for Marc-Andre Fleury. I think it makes all the sense in the world. A lot of times guys get statues after they're dead, after they're traded, after they retire. I think he should get it here. He's been that important to the launch of this franchise. Why wait? I'd like to see. My son goes to Oklahoma. Outside the stadium, they have Heisman Park. With all the guys who, I think the 7 Heisman Trophy winners, they all have statues the size of condo buildings. And everybody takes pictures in front of it. It's great. It's what you do. Kobe waiting on a statue. Magic's got a statue. You ever go to Staples Center? Everyone has a statue. De La Hoya's got a statue. Finally, they got Kareem one. Everybody's got one there. Wayne Gretzky. I think Fleury deserves that. He's that great. Mike, what did you think of the game last night in Fleury?
It was a great game. That save is one of the best saves I've ever seen in my life. I was lucky enough to have tickets right behind it. It was so incredible. No one really reacted. Half the arenas didn't even seem to react. They didn't even think he had it. I remember I jumped up, and I was in awe. I looked at my girlfriend. She was just cracking up on how ridiculous it was. And then they showed that replay, and the whole arena just couldn't even believe it. One of the best things I've ever seen live.
Yeah, they went to commercial on TV right after it. They turned around the highlight very quickly. They turned it around, and the truck did it, and then they showed the highlight, and then they went to commercial, and I was like, really? What was that all about? And then we watched it again and again and then saw it on SportsCenter and all that, but I can imagine in the crowd, everybody was aghast and just couldn't believe what they saw.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Like, I jumped up right away, and I was like, did he really just do that? And it seemed like some people thought it went in, just like the coach was saying. And then the replay showed, and everyone just realized just like how incredible it was and how far he really reached to get that.
He really is worth the price of admission, right? The team loses. He loses here and there. I'm always shocked when they lose a game where he has a lead in the third period. You know, if they're up one or two, I say, this should be a guaranteed, and they've lost a couple of two-goal games with him in goal and overtime there, and now it looks like he's completely locked in.
Absolutely. That one stretch we had was bad. I think there's a little bit of issue with the defense, because even when we were winning, he was making those spectacular saves. I was always under the opinion that if they're playing well, he wouldn't have to make those type of saves, but it's always good to have him there to bail out the defense, and I think that's what's keeping us afloat and what's going to get us moving again.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. That's what we do here. We tell stories. I wasn't inside last night. I wasn't at the game. If you were there, how did it change your perspective of the season and his career? I was just looking, and I Wikipedia'd Marc-Andre Fleury. His birthday, Bobby, he's 34. He turns 35 on November 28th. So his birthday's coming up here real quick. November 28th, he'll be 35 years old. And that'll be fantastic with 3 Stanley Cups. He's got to win a cup here. He really does. He has to win a cup here to really, for it to, his legacy's brilliant. But to cement that legacy in Vegas and in Pittsburgh and around the world, it would be incredible for him to get it done. He just gives you the feeling that you're going to win every game. And that is rare in sports. I mean, who else gives you that feeling? Tom Brady. Kawhi Leonard doesn't, right? When Kawhi needs a night off for load management, you know, he doesn't inspire you. If you look at the other athletes today who are playing that inspire you to win every game, every time you play, because in baseball, there's too many games. You know, the pitcher, you put Verlander on the mound, you think you're going to win the game, but not every time he pitches. Fleury, every time you think he's going to get it done. I just love seeing him play. One thing is when you have a ticket to that place, T-Mobile, and he's not playing, you're like, whoa, wait a second. Where do I get a free beer? Is there a hashtag free beer when he's not playing? But I'm hashtagging start the statue as we tweet that out, and we'd like you to get involved with that. And if he does get a statue in the next year or two, you know, it only takes, they're building a football stadium in 2 years. They can put a bronze statue in front of T-Mobile, a big one, in probably 6 months. The problem is, what save do you use? I don't think you could use that save from last night, because it's more of him diving like an outfielder. I think you want a save where he's kicking the puck away, but his glove's up there too. The scissor save, something like that, but there's so many to choose from. He's fantastic. 876-1340 at JT the Brick. And more on this game. We go through some of the highlights from last night and what happened. The Nosek goal is big, and Gallant talked about it after the game. This is something that needs to happen more.
Carrier from the left side wall came back out to Theodore. Turns it ahead towards Reeves, picked off, and then poked away by Nosek. He's got another chance. Nosek, backhand score! Tomas Nosek, redemption! 2-1 Golden Knights with 12 minutes to play.
Then it was on. Then it started to look like a really good game. The Fleury saved. You know, the Stone power play goal is really important. Remember how he got out of the gate quickly? He's got to get on a roll again.
Left wall, Stastny. Left point, Theodore to the slot. Glass to the right. Stone shoots and scores! Mark Stone! Another Vegas power play goal! 3-1 Golden Knights with under 10 minutes to play.
So I want to get back to this because I can never play the save enough, and we're going to play it a bunch over the years here, but the Toronto goal. I want to get to the Toronto goal because a 3-1 lead, and then Toronto goes on the power play.
In the high slot, now to the right. Spezza shoots. No, rebound, score! The Leafs strike on the power play, and it's a one-goal game again.
A one-goal game in a big spot there, and Toronto is surging, and then this happens.
Leafs up ahead on the far side, and a shot. No, rebound, oh, a diving! Glove saved by Fleury! He went airborne, back to his left, and saved the goal.
Incredible. Dan Duva, that will stay with him the rest of his life as a play-by-play voice to see that and get that so quickly. The Eakin goal put it away where they put the game in the bank. Another big win for your Vegas Golden Knights.
Captain Pacioretty again in the middle of the ice. Marchessault gets the puck back, clears, 24 seconds left. Pacioretty down the middle, Eakin alone. He scores!
There it is, Dan Duva on the call. Just a quick soundbite about the first two periods from Gerard Gallant. He was very happy about the start of that game through two periods. Very important that what the message that he preached in practice and when the team was losing, it came through in those first two.
The last six periods may have been real good. Obviously, Toronto put a push on. You know, there's another team that's pretty good over there putting a push on. I thought the two periods we not dominated, but we played perfect hockey in the first two periods. We didn't give much at all.
Perfect hockey. Ooh, from Gallant? Perfect? Wow. I wonder where he went after the game. He probably had a nice cigar and a scotch or a whiskey. He felt pretty good there. Man, you want to keep that guy happy, because when he's not happy, just don't look at him. Just walk the other side of the rink and get your gear on and get out there and be on time. I love the way that they got a mini roll going here. We're talking about your Vegas Golden Knights because we're your flagship station. We got a great partnership with them. We love the fact that you're listening. Most sports radio stations in the country talk zero hockey. Most national networks talk 0.0 hockey. We talk about it here because we have a team. If we didn't have a team, we'd talk no hockey ever, never. So it's a great place to be. I can talk hockey every day if I want to. I'll get back to the Raiders on the other side. Coming up, one of the great writers in NFL history, Gary Myers. He's a Hall of Fame voter, a best-selling author, a longtime columnist, and a guy who's connected with every legend from Al Davis when he was alive to Jerry Jones now. I asked him to come on to preview the Raiders at the Jets. Gary Myers joins us next.
We needed a feature back. We didn't have one. And we got one in the first round, and we're going to try to add some pieces next year with all the picks that we've assembled. And that's one vehicle to get better. And you got to give Mike credit. He's done a nice job.
JT, back with you. We have Gary Myers, the Hall of Fame voter, one of the great columnists to cover the NFL, the best-selling author as we preview the Raiders at the Jets. Gary, good to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on.
What's up, JT?
I was thrilled to talk to you because the Raiders have won three in a row, and they're traveling after a 49-day trip, the longest in NFL history. They win three in Oakland. Just give me your big picture on Gruden, Mayock, and how the team looks.
Well, I think that hiring Mike Mayock was a great idea, that he was one of the most well-respected TV people who would evaluate the draft every year. And, when he said something, you would listen. Now, like all of them, he wasn't always right, but I think his batting average was pretty high. So I think to bring him in and to kind of be Gruden's conscious, so to speak, where we know John can be very impulsive and emotional, and I think Mike is much more level-headed and thinking things through, so they probably play off each other really well. So I like what I see of the Raiders. I didn't like either of the trades they made last year when they gave up on Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack, but did a good job with the draft picks, despite the fact of Abram being out. And they look to be a team on the rise, and when they get to Las Vegas next season, they could be right there with the Chiefs as the best team in the division if they don't beat them out this year.
Yeah, Gary, I think that's important because Khalil Mack's a great player. Amari Cooper's played when healthy at the highest level with Dallas. But the Josh Jacobs selection, he's their workhorse. He's their closer. He'll go way over 1,000 yards this year. And then they have the pick next year in the draft that'll be in Vegas with the Khalil Mack pick in 2020. So it was really important for Mayock and Gruden to hit home runs in this rookie class with Max Crosby coming off a 4-sack game. Cleveland Farrell playing better now. And you mentioned Jonathan Abrams, who will be that core safety for the future. They seem to have had to come up big in that draft, and so far it seems like the media is not on their back anymore for those trades that they made.
Yeah, and all Raider fans should continue to, I should root for the Bears to continue to struggle, because that pick is looking a lot better right now than we could have imagined a year ago when the Bears were one of the better teams in the NFC. So if they continue to struggle, that pick could easily be in the top half of the first round. And, I mean, it would take a real collapse for it to be a top 10 pick, but you don't know where the Bears are going at this point. And that trade is looking much better now than when they made it, for sure.
Gary Myers is our guest. Derek Carr, over 2,400, right at 2,500 mm-hmm. yards, but everybody's talking about the completion percentage, 72.3, what he's doing on third down, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and the offensive line is protecting him. Assess Derek Carr's play.
Well, I thought it was a great fit with Gruden, and when you heard stories last year that Gruden was down on him and they might look to move on, I didn't quite get that, because a couple years ago, before Derek, either when he broke his leg or his ankle, whatever that was in the last game of the regular season or the second to last game, he was one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And maybe they got off to a rocky start, switching over to a new system. It could take some time to adjust. But I always thought that that was going to be a good combination there. And I think Derek is a really good quarterback.
I look at this.
And he's playing great. And Gruden is, I think you'd have to say that Gruden has made him better.
Yeah, John Gruden, as you mentioned, he's demanding. And I think in a great way. All the years I've known him, he is going to push a quarterback and push him hard, Rich Gannon, into eventually becoming an MVP player. And do you think that the noise is now quieted down nationally about Carr and Gruden going forward? Because there's a lot of great young quarterbacks in this league. Some thought Gruden would eye one of those, but Carr's playing as good as he played in 2016.
Yeah, I think that... I think that's a marriage that's going to last for a while. And, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Carr outlasts Gruden. You never know how long Gruden's going to coach. The 10-year contract doesn't really mean very much. And I think Derek Carr, I mean, why would you not want to have Derek Carr as your quarterback the way he's playing this year? Listen, everybody's always into comparisons. And I know that he's tried to pattern his game somewhat after Brett Favre. I did a book a few years ago about quarterbacks and their dads, so I talked a long time with Derek. That's why he wears number 4. He's got a little Favre in him, the little bit of the reckless side where he trusts his arms so much that sometimes he throws interceptions that he shouldn't. Those are probably down this year somewhat. I think he's got a ton of talent, and I wouldn't give up on him, and I wouldn't look to trade him. I wouldn't look to draft somebody else this year. You know, like you mentioned, it's a good quarterback draft, and I would just continue to build, because if he can take another step forward next year the way he has this year, then you can eventually wind up with one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and why would you not want to have that?
Gary Myers is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter, Gary Myers NY, based out of New York. I wanted to talk to you about the Jets and all your years in New York, Gary, and covering the coaches and the organization's ownership. What is going on with this franchise? Because Adam Gase got a vote of confidence. Sam Darnold said, I see ghost. They had injuries. They seem to be playing a little bit better. Le'Veon Bell is one of the most explosive players out there. And they have Jamal Adams, who was freaking out because he thought he was on the trade block. Now they're playing better. What do you see with the Jets?
Well, you think that's a lot of stuff going on or what?
That's a lot.
Well, let's take them one at a time. Jet fans were not happy when Gase was hired. He was a coach who had a losing record within the division, and that made it a very tough sell to Jet fans, and then they got off to a 1-7 start, and the quarterback was really struggling, and like you said, seeing ghosts. The last couple of weeks, they've beaten two really, really bad teams, in the Giants and the Redskins. The Redskins are one of the worst teams I've seen in years. So they've beaten those teams. They're up. They're back to 3-7, or they're up to 3-7. And after the Raiders, I can't remember exactly what the games are, but they have a bunch of easy games coming up, including the Dolphins at home. I mean, they lost to the Dolphins in Miami, which was ridiculous. But so I think things will quiet down a little bit, and they have a chance to win, 6 or 7 games. And Gase is not going to be fired. Darnold really likes him, which is important. It doesn't really matter what the fans think. It matters what the owner thinks, and the owner is sold on him. A good deal of the Jets' problems have come from poor drafting by Mike Maccagnan, who was let go after the draft this year. The timing was unique, to say the least. They brought in Joe Douglas from the Eagles, who's very well-respected, but he hadn't really had a chance to do much with this team because of when he was hired. I think it was in May. So it's an important offseason coming up for the Jets. As far as Darnold seeing ghosts, I mean, it was unfortunate for him that he was mic'd. And he was kind of making fun of himself because some of the interceptions he was throwing were, hard to explain. So he's just kind of muttering to himself on the bench, I'm seeing ghosts, kind of chiding himself a little bit. And the fact that he was mic'd, and that NFL films didn't protect him on that. Usually, comment like that, they wouldn't let get on the air. And it got on the air, and it was embarrassing because now, fans, when they play a road game, he's getting teased about that. And he's really a good kid.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a really good player once they improve the team around him. And as far as Jamal Adams, the Jets did not shop him
teams were calling about him because they thought the Jets were having a fire sale.
Right.
So when Joe Douglas was called by the Cowboys and the Ravens, he set the price at a 1 and 2 twos, knowing that neither team was going to offer that. But if you get that kind of offer for a safety, you really have to think hard about it because it's not necessarily a premium position. Neither the Ravens or the Cowboys were willing to meet the price. And Adams, you know, was really upset when the story got out. They smoothed things over. And the last 2 weeks, he's been one of the two or three best players in the NFL.
Gary Myers joins us, the great columnist, the best-selling author, the NFL insider, and the Hall of Fame voter. And, Gary, I wanted to move to the Hall of Fame because you take it so seriously. Your name is tied mm-hmm. with it for all the right reasons. And I have a tremendous passion for the Hall of Fame because of my relationship with Jim Brown, Fred Biletnikoff, and my years going back. And the Raider fans would really like to know the process coming up on how this big class coming in and the vote that's coming up for Tom Flores, Cliff Branch, who just passed away. It's really important, as you know, to the Raider Nation. And they want some clarity, not on your vote, I wouldn't be asking you that, but what it would take for Cliff and Tom to get in the same class.
Well, I mean, it's a possibility. I'll say that on November 25th, our ballots are due. There's 25 of us that are on this blue ribbon panel for this centennial class for the Hall of Fame, which is separate from the other group that I'm part of, which is the main group of 48 that this year will only vote on the modern era candidates. But we had a list of over 200 senior candidates, of which Cliff Branch was on the list, and our votes are due on the 25th to vote it down to 20. And then we're going to go to Canton in early January to vote it down to the 10, and those 10 will get in. With the coaches, the list is a lot smaller, and two coaches will get in, and Tom Flores is on the list. And so he's got a chance to be one of the two coaches that get picked. I'm not sure when we vote this. I think the coaches list is maybe 15. We might vote it down to 5 in early December and then vote on the 2 at that same meeting in Canton in January. So I would say that there's a lot of positive feelings from the conference calls we've had about Cliff Branch. We have not had our conference calls yet about the coaches, so I can't really tell you what the mood is pertaining to Tom Flores.
Thanks for sharing that with us. It's so important for the Raider fans, and obviously this is mm-hmm. a big year on all that. Thank you. I wanted to sure. talk about your sit-down. You hosted a luncheon with Roger Goodell, and it got a lot of press because you talked about pass interference and a lot of issues surrounding the NFL. I just want to throw that back to you. What were the big takeaways from your sit-down with the commissioner?
Well, if I can just throw a plug in here, I'm doing this series of talks with a company called OTG, which is On The Go. And the only thing I'll say about it, they own a lot of restaurants at airports around the country. And anybody who has been in an airport recently has probably seen the iPads at these restaurants.
Yes.
OTG owns the restaurants and they own the iPads. And these interviews that I'm doing are being placed on the homepage of the iPads as well as being available you know, through YouTube and Vimeo. So last Friday, I did a luncheon with Roger. I had set it up since August. And it just happens that the night before was when the incident happened with Myles Garrett. And about 20 minutes before we started the luncheon, the NFL released what the suspensions were. So it was not like a news conference kind of luncheon. It was just a friendly conversation about football. So I... You know, still having the instincts of a newspaper guy, my first two questions to Roger were about Myles Garrett, and I got in questions about Kaepernick, which at that point, you know, the shenanigans or chaos or however you want to phrase it from Saturday hadn't happened yet, and at that point we thought that the workout would be at the Falcons facility last Saturday afternoon. So we talked a little bit about that, and then we talked about pass interference, instant replay, and then, you know, a bunch of other topics that came up, including the Raiders' move to Las Vegas next year, and me telling him that in the 40 years I've covered the NFL, I never once thought there'd be a team in Las Vegas. And he said that he agreed with me, but, you know, times have changed, and he thinks it's going to be great. And the league is really looking forward to having the Raiders in Vegas. To me, the sad part about it, the residual effect, obviously, is that the fans in Oakland are so tremendous and so supportive and have been going to a crummy stadium for such a long time that they deserve better. I just wish a stadium could have been built in Oakland to keep the team there, because that's really what the Raiders, where the Raiders belong. That being said, I think it's great there's going to be a team in Las Vegas. I just would have preferred it was an expansion team.
You got it, Gary. Always a pleasure catching up with you. Whenever you write a book and you come on with me, I really enjoy talking to you, especially something big happening around a news-breaking moment in the NFL. And I hope we can reach out to you again later in the year and going into next year on the Hall of Fame and your role with the committee. Thanks so much.
Anytime, JT. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
It's all mine. Thank you, Gary. Gary Myers, encouraging news on Cliff Branch. Encouraging news. Telling you about our new personal injury attorney, Salmon Ash, because you deserve what's right. You know the story. If you've been injured in a car accident, do not call anyone. First, you need to call Salmon Ash. They'll tell you. They'll walk you through it. They'll tell you your rights, because the insurance company's job is to deny your injuries, because paying you what's fair costs them money. They'll get you the compensation you deserve, because you deserve what's right. Go to salmonash.com, salmonash.com. They will take the guesswork out of your case and help you find the right answers anytime, 24/7, any day of the week. Go to salmonash.com, salmonash.com, because you deserve what is right. So a lot to get to on the other side. George Sedano is going to join us next hour, the L.A. sports radio host, and also he's becoming a big NBA insider, working the sidelines of all these big games. I'm going to check in with him. Chris Myers, who joins me, and I love to talk to Chris Myers, good friend from the NFL on Fox. He called the Niner game, and he's calling the Cleveland game coming up. So he's got Baker Mayfield after Jimmy Garoppolo, excited about that. And then Steph McKenzie is coming in studio. How about that? What a surprise. We are going to drop an adrenaline Raider bomb on you in about 5 minutes when Steph comes in. And Bobby tells me her favorite player was Sebastian Janikowski. And we had Janikowski on earlier. And tomorrow we have Howie Long. Not bad. And the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights, where I work too much and I sit in this studio and root for the team. What's wrong with that? Handcuff me. Throw me in jail for doing that. It's awful, I guess, huh?